Hello, this is Warren Haynes of Government Mule, and you're listening to the Blog of Rock.
Willkommen bei The Block of Rock, deinem Hardrock und Heavy Metal Podcast Musikmagazin. Ich bin Uwe Lerch und ich nehme dich Backstage mit zu den Rockstars. Natürlich quatschen wir über die Musik, die uns alle verbindet, über neue Platten, über Livepläne und was früher so war. Aber wir sprechen auch über die Menschen dahinter. Was hat sie inspiriert und motiviert und welche Rockstar-Tipps haben sie für dich da draußen? In den Shownotes, das ist die Beschreibung zu dieser Episode, über die du das hier gerade hörst, findest du einen zentralen Link für alle weiteren Informationen, der dich aber auch in meine offizielle Facebook-Gruppe führt. Ich würde mich freuen, wenn wir uns hier kennenlernen. Bist du nun am Start? Na dann komm doch mit! Heute geht es tief an die Wurzeln des amerikanischen Blues, denn Gitarrenlegende und Grammy Award Winner Warren Haynes hat mit seiner Combo Government Mule ein thematisches Album eingespielt, welches uns tief in die Sümpfe des Mississippi-Deltas führt. Aber nicht nur das, es wurde auch parallel noch ein zweites Rock-Album produziert, welches dann im nächsten Jahr kommt. Wir kümmern uns aber heute erstmal um den Heavy Load Blues und tauchen ein in die Welt der Jam Bands. Und dabei konnte ich es natürlich nicht lassen, auch das Thema Allman Brothers auf den Tisch zu packen. Euch viel Spaß bei diesem Gespräch. Hi Warren.
Hey, how are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you for taking the time. Where are you today?
I'm at home.
So, great to have you back with a new album. And the new album, Heavy Load Blues, is a travel back in time.
Yeah, it's the first, what I would consider, a traditional blues record that Government Mule has ever done or that I've ever done. It's a way of paying tribute to music that was a big influence.
The whole album is recorded with a really vintage and warm sound. So how and where did you record it?
We recorded at a studio in Connecticut called Power Station New England. We chose that studio because we needed a place that could accommodate two different setups because we wanted to make two records at the same time. We wanted to make a normal Government Mule record and a blues record, and we wanted them to sound completely different from each other. So we set up in the big room for the main Mule record, which will come out next year, with our normal setup like we would use making any Government Mule record. And in the small room adjoining the big room, we put a bunch of small amplifiers and a small drum kit and a bunch of old RCA microphones. Both albums were recorded to analog tape. And for the blues record, much lower ceilings, a small room like we were set up on a little stage in a little club or something. All of us together, very close together, no headphones. I was singing through a little vocal monitor, and of course, it's all captured live because there's no separation. Every instrument is bleeding into every microphone. And so for us, it was a way to capture the spirit of the old blues records that we love. And I think it sounds that way.
I've seen the videos on YouTube and it looked amazing, especially with all these old amplifiers and guitars who may be a bit older than yourself.
Yes, in most cases, I would say that's right.
From where did you get the inspiration to pick those songs? There are some cover versions on the album next to your originals, but did you went to it by the pandemic through your record collection and try to listen to old stuff once again and made a big list?
Well, I've been making a list for several years now and adding to it all the time. As an example, I only recently added the Tom Waits song, Make It Rain. I've added that song maybe a year ago or a year and a half ago or something. I've been thinking of making a blues record for maybe 5 or 6 years, but it's taken until now for it to happen. During the pandemic, I was writing so much music that it was important to me to record as much as possible. And some of those songs were blues songs, which I don't write very often. I don't write many traditional blues songs, but maybe the pandemic brought that out or something. So it seemed like the right time.
Coming to Make It Rain, which is a track, actually, when I first got the copy of the album, I didn't pay attention in the beginning which tracks are from you and which tracks are cover versions. So I wanted to find it out. And when I heard Make It Rain, I initially thought it could be also a Doors song, but it's been composed by Tom Waits, by the great Tom Waits.
Yeah, and you know, when I'm a big fan of Tom Waits, and I have been since I was a teenager. When I heard that song maybe a year and a half ago, not for the first time, but when I was listening to it, I realized it's really just a blues song, and it would make sense for us to interpret. I guess it has a similarity to The Doors in some ways. I don't know if he would think that way or not.
But The Doors had also songs about rain and thunderstorms. And I've seen the video also on YouTube where you explain that during the recording of Make It Rain, there was some special magic in your room.
Well, I had this old Fender reverb unit from the 1960s that I wanted to use for the recordings. And it was making this noise due to some sort of radio interference or something. And it was quite comical in the way that when we were recording, I would say, "Make it rain." And all of a sudden, it would make this sound. And we were all laughing, but frustrated at the same time, because we felt like the recording was a very good take. And so when it was over, we wanted to find out if we could use it. I asked my co-producer, engineer, John Paterno, "Can we use that take?" And he said, "Yeah, wait till you hear it. It has a very special vibe about it."
That's a great story. One of the favorites of my album is your own composition, "If Heartaches Were Nickels." It's a track which already Joe Bonamassa did on a previous album a long time ago. You also performed with Joe this track. So what is so special about this song, which you haven't recorded by yourself?
Well, I wrote it in the 80s, and Joe recorded it, either late 80s or early 90s, I would say. I never had done my own version of it and had always been thinking about it. And so when we decided to make a blues record, it made sense for me to finally record my own version of it.
So you had it a long time in the draw and then finally put it out.
Yes.
What's your favorite on the album?
That's very hard to say. I mean, I like Make It Rain a lot. I like Snatch It Back and Hold It a lot. I like both of the acoustic tracks a lot, Heavy Load and Black Horizon. But I really like every song. I'm very happy with the way the entire project turned out.
Was it difficult to record two albums at the same time? Because you haven't done it after another. I've seen you did the rock album during daytime and the blues album in the nighttime.
I think it was perfect for this time period, because we couldn't tour, we couldn't perform on stage, we couldn't travel, so we decided to spend more time in the studio. I think under normal conditions, I would never want to do that, but during the lockdown, it made sense to do, and it turned out to be a great idea. We would go in the big room and record from early in the day till about 9 o'clock at night, and then we would move over to the blues room and play blues for the rest of the night and come back the next day and do the same thing. And it was great because, A, we could play blues at night, which is when you should play the blues, and also we could just shut our brains off and stop thinking at the end of the big room sessions. When we moved into the blues room, we're just no thinking, just playing blues.
I haven't heard anything like this before from a band. So usually when a band has so much material, they decide to go for maybe a double album or maybe two separate albums, as Guns N' Roses or Bruce Springsteen did back in the days. But to record two separate albums, which are also different from each other, to record at the same time, this is quite new to me. So that means now you've got a lot of time to focus on the road back again.
Yeah, and hopefully things will get back to normal.
That's right. I've seen you played already some shows. I've went on Nux already to see that you already played some shows, and as always with different set lists each night. So you're at least back to normal.
Gradually, yes. We did a 5-week tour and we did a 3-week tour, and very diligent protocols involving COVID, you know, testing every day. Everybody's double vaccinated. The audience has to either be tested or vaccinated to join the show. And we were having no guests backstage. But I think that's the way it has to be for now. And hopefully soon we can get back to normal. But it really feels good to be playing again.
I can imagine, especially since you have been so much active on the road the past, I don't know, 30, 40 years. Must have been crazy for you to stay at home all the time.
Yes, I was home more than I've been since I was 15 years old.
Did you discover new sides on yourself? New hobbies? Reading, writing, painting, cooking?
Well, I spent a lot of time writing and a lot of time with my son. I have a 10-year-old son, so it was great to spend every day with him, which I normally have not had that sort of opportunity for such a long period of time. There were good sides to the lockdown as well, but as we all know, it just was very challenging and frustrating for everyone.
In the past, you have recorded a reggae album, and you also have your own festival in Jamaica. Where comes this fascination for reggae for you?
I don't know. I always loved reggae music going back to the 70s, I guess. It's a small influence on Government Mule, but it is an influence and something that we incorporate. I love all types of music. I love jazz and blues and rock and roll and country music and folk music and soul music. So for me, I just like to open my mind to as many types of music as possible.
As long as it comes from the heart.
As long as it comes from the heart, and you try to seek out the best in every genre. You know, there are giants in every genre that demand your attention. You know?
No, it's because I was really thinking, because, you know, when you have initial look, that the reggae and rock in general is of course two different angles, but it of course fits together since it's been played with the band. There's lots of jams inside. And even for me, I've seen thousands of concerts, but still until today, my one and only Bob Marley show in 1980 is the show which I most remembered in my own life. So this
wow. I never saw Bob Marley, but I love the recordings of his shows, and they were very jam oriented. He always had a fantastic band. Of course, I've seen the Wailers since Bob's death several times. I saw Peter Tosh in 81, I think it was, and it was a fantastic show. Yeah, I mean, that music is just very moving, and especially in a live context, it's amazing.
You have all these improvisations, which you also had with the Allmans and with Skinner as well. So this is something which somehow there's a relation between reggae and rock, especially with when you're acting as a jam rock artist.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it probably all comes from soul music, you know, which comes from blues, which brings us back to Heavy Load, right? The reggae music is very influenced by Motown and of course the Allman Brothers music was very influenced by James Brown and B.B. King and John Coltrane. So all these things are connected in their own way.
That's where you have the family tree.
Yes, absolutely.
On the weekend, you're doing something really special as you do every year on Halloween. So where comes this tradition from? We're talking about it in a minute, but where comes this tradition from that Governor Mule is playing a special show on Halloween? You did some very crazy stuff in the past. I remember the Pink Floyd set and also the Led Zeppelin set, which I've seen on the net. So where does this tradition come from?
We have been doing this probably over 10 years, maybe close to 15 years. There are other bands in our scene, like Fish and Widespread Panic. There are many bands that do special shows for Halloween. We had gotten the idea, I guess, over 10 years ago, that it's like putting on a costume. We play somebody else's music on Halloween. And as you mentioned, we've done Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, we've done Jimi Hendrix, we've done The Who, we've done The Doors, so many different the Rolling Stones. And we also do something similar for New Year's Eve, but similar but different. This year for Halloween, we're doing two shows in Atlanta, the 29th and 30th of October. The 29th, we're going to play Heavy Load Blues in its entirety, for the first time. And on the 30th, we're going to play our tribute to the Allman Brothers live at Fillmore East. In both cases, we'll do two sets. So on the 29th, we'll do a heavy load blues set, and then we'll do a normal Government Mule set. And on the 30th, we'll do a normal Government Mule set, and then we'll do our interpretation of Live at Fillmore East, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary.
I got my ticket today at Knox.net because I didn't want to miss this.
Ah, awesome.
So when you play the Fillmore East at the second part of the show, how do you get to along with the long tracks?
We just take the same approach, you know, do a lot of jamming. We will rehearse the intricacies of the songs, but we won't rehearse the jamming. We would just let that flow, let it be whatever happens.
What makes this album, I mean the Allman Brothers album, so special for you?
Well, it was one of my favorite albums growing up. That record came out in 1971, which was the year I first started playing guitar. And so the next two or three years were very formative years for me as a guitar player. And I listened to that record hundreds and hundreds of times. Every person I knew was listening to that record, every musician. And when I hear it today, it still sounds as fabulous as it did back then.
I just listened to it on the afternoon. So Duane was a big influence for you as well at that time?
Absolutely. Duane and Dickie Betts both were very big influences. And of course, Greg's singing and just the overall sound of the band was such a unique experience. You know, I was a big fan.
Do you miss sometimes Derek on stage?
Yes, we played together recently. I joined Tedeschi Trucks at the Beacon Theater about 2 weeks ago. And it was the first time we'd played together in quite a while. And anytime we get the chance, it's always fun. We really enjoy playing together and are very close friends.
They're also doing great with these thematic shows. They did this Layla show, and so this was also great, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think that's unique to today's live music experience, and it's unique to the jam band world, I guess. But I'm starting to see, even outside of the jam band world, a lot of rock bands are doing cover songs these days, which is interesting to see because that wasn't always the case, you know. I think the jam band scene in America is embracing now bluegrass music and reggae music and jazz music. It's all part of the jam band world, where maybe 10 years ago that wasn't true.
May I ask you about Devin Allman?
I've known Devin since he was a child, you know. He used to ride on our bus when we were touring with the Allman Brothers. And the Allman Betts Band seems to be doing very well. I've seen them a few times, played with them a few times. It's great that they're carrying on that tradition.
You've just performed with our dear friend Beth Hart. I've seen a video
yes.
on YouTube.
She joined us in Los Angeles recently, and that was only the second time that she's joined us on stage with Government Mule. It was wonderful. She was fantastic. And of course, I'm very honored that she recorded my song Soul Shine. She did a wonderful version of it. And so it was nice to do that and a couple other songs as well.
YouTube doesn't lie.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, though. Sometimes the quality of the recordings is not great. So, you know, it's great for what it is, but, you know, never know if what you hear is going to be a good technical recording or not, you know.
Yeah, but for this you have your own network, which is on Knox.net.
Yes.
And this isn't, tell me something about this, because I've seen there are hundreds, thousands of shows from, you know, where you have been participated, even, you know, from the old days.
Well, we started in 2004. We started MuleTracks.com, which is our website that offers high quality recordings of all the shows. And in my opinion, much better than the ones that people make for themselves. But a lot of people prefer their own recordings, and that's okay too. We allow people to record the shows. We allow people to trade the recordings as long as they're is no money exchanging hands. But we offer our recordings, which are quite good, of every show. So since it works for us because we do a different set list every night. If a band played the same set list every night, it would make no sense. But, you know, over the course of a tour, you know, we may play 100 or 200 different songs.
It's really amazing. I just really dived into this today to see how much is, and I feel I'm getting bankrupt the next days because I want to buy even some more stuff. So we've just talked about Devin and we talked about Beth. Both would have been in Germany the next month. Unfortunately, the shows got postponed and canceled, postponed to next year. What about your plans for Europe? Are there any concrete plans for 22?
Well, I wouldn't say they're concrete, but we're definitely planning to come to Europe next year. You know, hopefully everything will go accordingly and we'll be able to tour in a proper way. And it's something we're very excited to do, but we just have to follow the path and see what happens.
Will it be then with Heavy Load Loose or maybe already with a new album? What are the plans for tour release?
I hope we can come to tour behind Heavy Load Blues and then come back again for the next record.
You got now plenty of time because there's no new recording involved in between.
Yeah.
Except maybe a new solo album. What about this?
Maybe. I have written a lot of songs. I definitely am excited to start recording another record. I just don't know when it's going to start.
So thank you very much. It was a really, really nice talk. All the best to you. I'm looking forward to see you on Halloween.
Sounds good. I'm glad you're coming.
See you next year in Germany. Bye bye. Thank you,
bye, Marvin. Bye.
Ihr habt es sicher schon gemerkt, dieses Gespräch wurde kurz vor Halloween aufgezeichnet. Die speziellen Shows waren der Hammer. Unter nugs.net, da schreibt man nugs.net, gibt es weitere Infos. Ich sag aber mal, haltet euer Portemonnaie fest, aber Weihnachten kommt ja bald. Wenn dir diese Episode gefallen hat, folge mir doch gerne beim Podcast-Dealer deines Vertrauens, damit du auch die nächste Folge nicht verpasst. Du bekommst die ganze Staffel als kostenloses Abo unter anderem bei Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Deezer, Soundcloud, YouTube, dem Podcast-Portal von Google oder natürlich über meine Homepage theblogofrock.com. Höre dir dort auch die bereits veröffentlichten Stories an, denn jede Woche gibt es hier neues Futter. Und vor allem, erzähle es deinen Freunden und teile die frohe Kunde auf Social Media. Alles klar? Dann hören wir uns ja wieder beim nächsten Mal. Bis dahin, keep on rocking!